Time for your favorite podcast, your favorite TCU podcast.
It's becoming a tight race. Not only a tight race, because I think we're far and away the leader for favorite TCU podcast.
My favorite.
The room's getting full.
Yeah.
There's a lot of competition now. I think we should have a third-party vote on all this.
Bring it.
At some point. But welcome back to Toad Talk. Billy Wessels, Clint Foster. Yeah, it should be an interesting show today. We've got an interview later with Larry Brown. I conducted this interview on Monday, which huge shout out and thank you to him. Several technical issues at the beginning of that led to probably a take three on that interview getting going. But if you want to skip ahead to that, you shouldn't, but it's the last 15 minutes of this show, so enjoy that. We'll get into more about football here in a minute. We're also going to talk a little bit about soccer, the true football of the football school here.
Football.
Signing day was last week. Going to highlight a bunch of baseball guys, because I'm ready for baseball. I don't know if you are. I'm excited about baseball season.
Yes, yes.
Got Twitter questions. But first, we're going to talk about the newest member of the Memphis Grizzlies.
Aha!
Desmond Bane.
Yes. And isn't it ironic? The man who slaughtered bears before our very eyes with one of the nastiest crosses in all of human history is now a Grizzly. How interesting is that? And a very, I really wanted him to be with the Mavs. The Mavs said, we want a 3-and-D guy. There he is. There he was for you.
Well, he was. But the Mavericks had the next pick.
Yeah.
So do you think they would have gotten him in the next pick?
I mean, well, I think they already got their 3-and-D guy that they wanted.
With Green.
Yeah. But, you know, honestly, this is a fun, fun freaking spot for Desmond Bane to be.
This will be a really fun team. Again, they made the play-in game, which they never had before this year, but they had a play-in game because of the bubble situation like that. I'm sure they'll never do that going forward. Or maybe they will, because it's kind of fun and it gives another team a chance of making the playoffs. But they were in the race the entire season, and Ja Morant was Rookie of the Year last year, number 2 overall pick last year. Jaren Jackson Jr. has become a really nice player there. But yeah, Desmond Bane joins them and should be a plug-in three-point shooter improver. So
yeah, they have all the makings of a very fun young team, and I know of at least a couple Memphis Grizzly TCU fans in my circle who have got to be. I haven't talked to them about it yet, but they've got to be excited about it.
I'm excited about it too. I got some family in Memphis, so maybe I'll sneak up there for a game, especially if they play the Pelicans. Maybe
there you go.
Kenny Hustle, Desmond Bane. I'll wear one of those half and half jerseys.
Yeah, there you go.
Like Hustle Lane or whatever.
Hustle Lane,
or. Billiams? Oh, well, I don't hate
that. Oh, my gosh,
I don't
Billy.
Hate that.
Look at that.
I don't hate it.
It's as if it was made for you.
Made for me, this half and half jersey. But, yeah, looking forward for Memphis Grizzlies games. I think they're in the same division as the Mavericks. Does that mean several home games with them? I don't know how divisions work in basketball.
I mean,
especially this season, it's going to be all messed up because they start on December 22nd. It's really weird how, like, he had to wait an extra 5 months for the draft. And now, here you go, 34 days, you can start playing the game.
Hope you're ready.
Yeah, figure it out. Yeah, in the Southwest Division, it is the Houston Rockets, Dallas Mavericks, San Antonio Spurs, Memphis Grizzlies, and New Orleans Pelicans. So,
yeah, because plenty of chances. Memphis and New Orleans just scream Southwest to me.
I've never felt more Southwest than in my teal. I feel like I think of teal when I hear the word Southwest.
Yeah.
I think of those like New Mexico, Arizona homes.
Right.
I think of Breaking Bad.
You were wearing entirely too much damn turquoise.
Yes. It's a lot of turquoise in New Orleans for sure. So yeah. So that's exciting. They'll play, I think that means at least 2 games in Dallas, assuming in a normal season. We'll see how it all shakes out.
Yes, yes.
With this season going forward. But I'm excited to watch some Grizzlies. I'm excited to become a fan of that team.
Yeah.
That poises the next question, because it had been 21 years since TCU had a player drafted, 25 since a player went in the first round. Kurt Thomas and Desmond Bane is the only first-round picks in school history. That's the list.
Yep.
That's the tweet. who is the next draft pick that TCU has?
The next one. Well, this is something, you know, we should talk to Lee Nalen about this, friend of the podcast. Our last drafted frog.
Spoiler alert, we should probably text him next week. So
yes,
look forward to
we should.
Tease an interview with him next week. He's very gettable. He's very gettable the first time I got him.
Yes, yes. Well, once I figured out what his actual number was.
You did call the wrong number first. And I heard him say, this is the wrong number. And you kept introducing him like it was him. And he just said, yeah, man, thanks for all that, but it's not me. It was hilarious.
It was wonderful.
And you're like, did he say that? I was like, yeah, he said that.
I was like, yep. I
should go back and
didn't hear it.
I'm going to see if I still have that recording. It was hilarious.
Yeah. I was like gushing about Lee Nalen.
You talked for a solid minute straight about his accolades. I had all these notes about his career to bring up. And you're like, read them all off the bat. Cool. We got something else to say about Lee Clean Alien. But hopefully someday Desmond Bain will have a similar list of backlights. He did at TCU. But who joins them in this illustrious list of TCU?
Okay, next. Next up.
Who's next?
You know what? I feel PJ Fuller. I think PJ Fuller could be that guy who's a first round draft pick, because you know he's got a lot more developing to do, but I think the foundation is there. He's an athletic guy. I think that, you know, now with Bain gone, suddenly him and RJ Nimbard become even more elevated in their offense. But you mentioned a guy who I think also has a very, very good chance of being a first-round draft pick eventually.
Yeah, I'll get to the logic in a second. I'll kind of go through some of these guys and give a reason kind of for or against. I think the most logical one, especially now, next one would be Kevin Samuel. He's a senior. I think he's a senior, right? Or is he a junior this year?
I just don't know.
No, I agree.
Yeah.
He's a fantastic
forward, mm-hmm. and I love him on TCU. I just don't know if his game, how well it transitions to the NBA now.
Yeah, he's a junior, but as I wrote in the note, he's a dinosaur by NBA standards.
Yeah.
But you saw James Wiseman go number two overall, but I think he's got a little more touch and a little bit better shooting than Kevin Samuel does, whose free throw shooting last year was 38%.
So
37 out of 98.
As you say.
So, yes, that's not ideal. But 8.4 rebounds, I mean, there could be a place for him. I just don't know if he's a draft pick guy. I don't know if he's a guy that could get there. And I think next up on my list of possibilities is RJ Nimbard, solely because he was basically second to Bain in all these stats, except for Bain was second in rebounding. He was, I think, fourth behind Jared Greer. So he can rebound. He can dish the ball. He was second in assists. He was second in points. He's a guy that has this ability. He also shot, but he only shot 31% from three,
mm-hmm.
and Bain was 44% from three.
Yeah.
So it's got to be that kind of 40-ish percentile is probably what's going to take you as far as a guard into the next level.
Yeah, we're going to need some improvement from him this year to be first round, I think.
And that's where you enter Francisco Farabello, who was 41% from three last year, despite he was 25 of 61, so small sample size and only averaged 3.7 points per game. So like he came in, made a three-pointer, and that was it for him.
Mm.
But for a lot of the cases. But I think he's a guy that if we see him and PJ Fuller develop, the reason I'm a little bit down on Fuller, and it stinks that it goes back to three-point shooting percentage, but that's the NBA nowadays.
Yeah.
It's boring, and that's kind of like baseball is becoming home runs and strikeouts. It's three-pointers and three-pointers in basketball.
Yeah.
It's about it. Fuller was only 25.
Three-pointers and further three-pointers.
Yeah, right? And PJ Fuller was only 25% from range last year. So not it could happen. Like, he's a highly touted guard coming in. Same with Farabello.
Yeah.
And Farabello has, I don't know if it's an edge, but it seems like NBA is way open to taking foreign players that have played it at various levels overseas and making them stars. So Farabello fits that mold for sure.
Yeah.
I still think the next most likely guy is Mike Miles.
Yeah.
Highly touted point guard coming in. Hasn't played a game yet.
High hopes for him. High hopes.
Well, I've been saying he's taking him to the tournament in 2021. Like, I've really been latching all of my trailer hitches to 2021 in every sport. So.
Yeah.
So it could be a rough 2 years.
Please pull through.
Yeah, right. So I think Mike Miles is the best potential because it's point guard. It's a point guard driven league. It's a point guard driven game. You don't have to be as great of a shooter at point guard if you're dishing the ball around. You see Russell Westbrook's made a career out of stuff like this,
mm-hmm.
despite not being a great shooter. So my next pick is Mike Miles, but I'd see several possibilities on this roster.
Yeah, well, you know, Farabello, he does have most draft picks by association, I'd say. Did you see that
buddies
tweet
with
that
everybody?
Yeah. Because he had a picture of him with Desmond Bain and then a picture with guy's name's escaping me. But, you know, two draft picks in this draft.
Yeah. I think it was a name that was hard to say as well.
Probably.
So maybe it's Farabello. So maybe he works with those guys going forward and becomes more prominent, like in those NBA teams, see him working out with those guys. That's what I'm saying. I think I dare say Farabello might be the second most likely on this list.
Yeah.
So him or maybe Nimbard. That's what I think. That's an early look ahead to several years of basketball.
Oh, yes.
All right. Do we have to talk about the football game?
You know, I think we as the internet's only TCU podcast, I think have an obligation.
I've been on three this week.
Yeah.
I know for a fact that's not
true.
Well,
no, one of the, Frogcast, that's a biology podcast. It's about frogs, primarily.
True.
And then y'all kind of segue into some college football talk, We're the college football podcast.
Yeah, okay. Fair enough.
We're the TCU
podcast. I'm going to say TCU TCU podcast.
Yes,
honestly.
Yes.
Because we got football here. Then we're talking about football here in a second.
Yes.
So, football, they go to a West Virginia. You've heard this by now. They lost 24-6. It stinks to fly the way to Morgantown, get on the plane for your first time all season, and kick two field goals. But here we are.
Well, and I liked your I liked what you said on one of these other non-TCU podcasts.
Biology podcast.
Yes, about planes were the theme, right? Yeah. The theme was planes. We flew to Morgantown. We ran entirely too many jet sweeps. And then we were grounded by our lack of general offensive
ability
competence.
To fly on offense. Like, they couldn't move the ball forward through the air. And West Virginia, I mean, it's hard to get – I want to talk about the defense for a second because that's kind of a bright spot, I think.
Yes.
If you give up 24 points on the road in the Big 12, you feel good about it.
It's a game that you should win.
Yes.
It is. If you have any goodness gracious, any semblance of – you know, yeah, competence.
Offense.
Competence on offense. I mean, my goodness gracious. And if it's we have so many issues, Billy. Like, if it's not play calling, then it's an execution issue. And if it's not, you know, if everything else goes right, you know, you finally get a play where the offensive line is where it needs to be, the play call is good, and then the pass gets airmailed. It's like we cannot put it all together at the same time. And there's so much that needs to happen between now and 2021 when we're going to be in. I mean, we have got talked till we're blue in the face about 2021 because all the pieces are going to be in place. But you have got to put those pieces in a position to succeed. You have to. And, oh my gosh, there's just so much that needs to happen. And it's really, game like West Virginia, you know, yes, we had the two-game winning streak that felt very nice, although you don't really love the way that we won those two games, and it kind of gave you pause going into this West Virginia game. It just, we're right back where we were. I'm just like, I don't feel good. I don't like what's happening. You can't win games like you used to. I mean, Nick Saban said it, right? You can't just play phenomenal defense and expect to win 7-6 every week. You can't, especially in the Big 12. I mean, goodness. We got to make some changes, man. We got to do something.
So, and that's hinting at coaching changes. Again, nothing is official anywhere yet.
That's not what I'm saying.
What changes do you want?
You have to.
You can't just change the players.
You have to allow yourself. Like, there's no way that you can sit here and tell me that Meacham and Cumbie are happy with the complete lack of identity on offense. You know what I mean? We've got to allow ourselves to put players in a position to succeed and make, you know, intelligent decisions. You know, I love Pro Wells. I think Pro Wells is a fantastic player. He has not been utilized nearly enough in this offense. Why are we throwing him a screen? Why are we doing that? That makes no sense at all. This dude is a weapon in the middle of the field. You have tons of scat, fast wide receivers, and you're throwing a screen to Pro Wells, who could be blocking for one of those wide receivers on screen.
Nobody saw that coming.
No, nobody did. But it got snuffed out immediately
because
it's a terrible play design. I mean, and you know, it's like, gosh, as we've talked about all this stuff. Like, we have.
That's what I'm saying. That's why I'm not like want to harp on this game a whole lot.
Yes,
because we've talked. We all feel the same way.
It's
we've
the same
this forever,
problems
week in, week out.
Yes, and it's frustrating. Because you look at the beginning of this season, and there were the glimmers of hope of like, wow, we actually are being a little creative in our play calling. And like that Texas game, I thought was called great. You know, there were great play calls in that game. And the beginning of the Baylor game.
First quarter and a half of the Baylor
game. Yes, you are throwing the ball downfield. You're moving with tempo. Whenever we're down by three touchdowns and we play with tempo, we look fantastic.
Yep.
You know, but it's like we just won't do it otherwise, and it's so maddening. It's so extremely maddening.
I agree. I think tempo is almost the solution to this problem because they do look better in a 2-minute offense or rushing to come back. So I feel, well, 2-minute offense, when they let them run the 2-minute offense instead of just sit on 3 timeouts of the minute 20 left.
And use your players that, I mean, come on. We finally started seeing Zach Evans more, which is great, but it's like you've got, I still don't think we're giving Darwin Barlow, Zach Evans, Kendry Miller, and, you know, DeMarcus Foster is injured now, but I don't think we're giving them nearly enough touches when, you know, I mean, Amari DeMarcado seems like a great kid, but it's like, come on, you know?
He's not
like,
Zach Evans.
Yes, he's not Darwin Barlow either.
He's not Kendry Miller.
I mean, and Max, I love Max, and Max is such a warrior, and he's a great runner. There is no stinking reason why he needs to be the leading rusher on this team. There's no stinking reason. I mean, there's like, you know, I feel like you really got into it good on the broadcast. the Purple Theory podcast. They talk ad nauseum about, you know, the offense, obviously, week in, week out. These things have all been spoken about. What can I say that hasn't already been said? There's not a lot.
And that's and there's really nothing we can do. That's why I wanted to kind of highlight
something good. Yes.
Tari Coleman again.
Yes.
I mean, we can complain about the offense all we want and just build more stress and anxiety and clog our arteries with that.
Yes.
Or we can find the bright spots.
Yes, Tari my Coleman beautiful had, tropical fish, Tari Coleman.
Had another good game. Garrett Wallow, I thought had a good game here.
Yes.
He should have forced two fumbles. I think one got overturned and one was really close. I think they might have recovered it even. Mm-hmm. So he had a nice game. And then I think after his Greco-Roman wrestling match, CJ Caesar had a nice had a nice second half, and so did Trey Tomlinson.
Yeah, Trey Tomlinson had a great game, I thought. I mean, you know, when you are now thrust into the role of, like, you are the corner that needs to be the shutdown corner. I mean, and they were picking on him, man.
Yep.
I thought he stepped up massive. That play where he broke up the pass in the end zone, that play did not get talked about nearly enough.
No.
He was beat on the play. He recovered fantastically. He goes up, plays the ball, no interference. That was just textbook. I mean, you know, not textbook the whole way through because he got beat initially, but the way he was able to recover and knock that ball away, beautiful. Beautiful, perfect.
Beautiful, perfect Trey Tomlinson. Mm-hmm. So there are a couple of bright spots on that defense, less on the offense. So
yeah.
What do you want to see going into Kansas next week?
I want to see us just thrash them, frankly. I mean, and it's not like I hate Kansas.
Well,
it's
but this is your – if there is a get-right game in the Big 12, this is it.
Yes.
Like, this is your big – if there was – they don't get to play directional Tennessee or whatever, the Tennessee Tech they're going to play this year.
Yeah.
This is your Tennessee Tech game.
Yes.
So you got to go up in there and at least put up 40 on them.
And you know, what I would really love to see and what I missed against Tech, like, yes, I – love beating Tech in any circumstance, and it's hilarious to beat Tech with less than 100 passing yards. Like, what?
Trolling amongst trolls.
Yeah, but I would love to see us actually, you know, maybe not totally open things up so that, you know, you have a prayer against Oklahoma State, but open things up at least a little bit where it's like, let your guys get some reps in a wide open offense. And because, you know, this year we might as well... You know, yes, we're going to continue to play the year, but as far as, you know, we're not competing for a Big 12 title, and this year doesn't really count, so you're kind of throwing out the results. So use it as an opportunity to get better at the things you want to do in 2021, the things you want to do well. You know, that's what I want to see. Hopefully not just a bunch of quarterback draws and jet sweeps and, you know... whatever, other, like, oh, there's our one deep downfield pass, and it's a go route to Quentin Johnston. Like, let's see some of those concepts that we used to run, the meshes, and the just utilizing the middle of the field, and power plays on runs, and RPOs, and all, you know, all of these fun things.
Fun yes. Points. They have given up, Kansas has given up at least 38 points in every game this season.
If you don't score 38 points against Kansas... I'm panicking. I'm hitting that panic button as hard as I can.
It was 38 to West Virginia and Coastal Carolina, the two times they've given up less than 40. They've given up at least 47 to everyone else in the Big 12.
Mm-hmm.
You got to put up at least 40.
Yeah.
You got to put up a 40-burger on them. They haven't scored more than 23 in a game all year. Again, that was against Coastal Carolina. Mm-hmm. Against Big 12 teams, they put up 22 against Iowa State, and I wonder if any of that was junk time. They got a junk touchdown. I say junk as a two-score – it made it a two-score game in the fourth quarter, midway through the fourth quarter. So, I mean, it was still living as – you got to put up 40. You got to double them up.
If you need a reason to not play conservative and run up the score, just think about that in 2018, the last time you were in Lawrence, you lost to these fools on a butt fumble. Okay? So use this as an excuse against an empty stadium to make a statement of, you know, for once we are not going to be caught – in a mud wrestling match in Lawrence for once. We always play well against them at home for the most part.
Yeah.
It's when we go to Lawrence that the wheels fall off and things get stupid.
Yep.
So let's let this be the year that things don't get stupid.
Yep. You got it. You got to beat them by three scores and you got to double them up.
Yes. I feel
like you got to be in the 40s versus somewhere maybe 20. Maybe 20.
Oh, I think that's being pretty generous.
I'm a generous man. maybe 17. You got to put up 40 to... 14 on them.
Yeah.
There's my score prediction for next week early.
40 to 14. Okay.
Anyway, we'll get into that more next week.
A little sneak preview.
We talked more about that than I intended to, but here we are.
Yeah.
Soccer honors. Really, all of them. Great season. Yeah, basically all of them.
Yeah.
The TC took home 4 of the 5 Player of the Year award honors. Race Collins was the first Frog ever to win Big 12 Offensive Player of the Year. Emily Alvarado was Goalkeeper of the Year. No surprise. She had 7 shutouts.
Chef's kiss.
Yep. Mars Atkins was voted as the Freshman of the Year. And Eric Bell took home Coach of the Year honors. No surprise. I think if you win the conference, you should win that award no matter what. Collins and Alvarado were on the first team, joined by Brandi Peterson and Yasmin Ryan. Messiah Bryant was on the second team. And Akins and Olivia Hassler were named the Big 12 All-Freshman team. So it's a very good, I think still relatively young team, too. Like,
oh, it's, you just said 2 people All-Freshmen and newcomers of the year.
Yep.
I mean, Coach Bell, he's got himself a nice little foundation here for – could be a good little TCU women's soccer dynasty.
And again, if this whole season doesn't count, right, like – Emily Alvarado is a senior, but if she can come back, then I say she comes back. Grace Collins is only a sophomore, is the Big 12 Player of the Year.
Yeah.
So there is plenty of potential for this to become a dynasty, if you will, for Big 12. And they're going to go, I think Florida State ended up winning the ACC. So whenever they do this tournament in the spring they keep talking about, I'm sure they will be the the one and the number two seed going into it. So exciting for them, exciting time for the football program at TCU.
Yes, we are still a football school.
Still a football school, no matter what.
Yeah, I am definitely team keep Emily Alvarado on campus as long as humanly possible. Yes,
I mean, unless literally the Mexico World Cup team wants her because she's on like the under 20 World
That's
Cup
fair.
Team. Then I would allow it. But other than that, keep staying here. So big weekend for the Lady Frogs. It was signing day last week for the baseball team as well. And I kind of jotted down some notes on the top 250 guys that TCU took. They took 6 guys in the top 252. So that's again, those are kind of the usually not all 4 stars, but usually the top 150 or so are in the 4 star category, and then a couple other 3 stars here.
Delicious.
So the prize of the class, according to Perfect Game Baseball, is Thomas Dellandre, number 71 overall, 6'3", 195 outfielder from Vegas. Who else is good from Vegas?
You
were there. Joey Gallo.
Yeah, Joey Gallo. I almost said Joey Votto, and then I had a stroke. Joey Gallo is from Vegas.
Joey Gallo, Bryce Harper, and Chris Bryant were all on the same like high school team together.
Yeah.
So that's real cool. So there's your hitter to really keep an eye on. Cademan Parker was ranked number 91 overall, 6'4", 185 pitcher from the Woodlands. So the last time they got a pitcher from the Woodlands was pretty good.
Yeah.
Luke and Baker.
Yes.
So it's a...
I thought he was from Spring, which I guess is technically
Houston
the Woodlands.
Area, Houston adjacent. But Houston adjacent is pretty much all Texas. So.
Yeah.
The most local kid they got was Creed Williams, a catcher, ranked 104 in the country, 6'1", 225. Again, catchers, someone's got to fill in for Zach Humphries next year, so this could be your guy going forward there. Another pitcher they got from Oklahoma City, Gray Thomas, ranked number 117, 6'4", 205. So if I had to guess, again, they don't do the stars like they do in football and basketball. Dellandre and Parker are probably 5 stars. And then you've got Williams and Thomas are probably 4 stars. And then 3-star guys, Hunter Toplansky, number 231, 6'3", 175 from Flower Mound Marcus. So another local guy.
Yeah.
And then Logan Maxwell, number 252 overall in Perfect Game, 5'10", 170 outfielder from Ohio.
Do you think that Creed Williams can take us higher?
I think he will.
Okay.
I think he will take us higher. I can't think of the next line of that song.
To a place where you blind man see? Or...
yeah, I think it's what it is, right? Man, whatever happened.
Let's go there.
Yeah, let's go. Let's go higher. And Kendall Rogers had a really nice tweet, even though he hates your team, right?
Yeah.
And that is thing.
Yeah.
He always hates your team. He said he talked to Schlossnagel the other day and mentioned he's tweeting a lot the last couple of days. What are you doing, Kendall? I'm trying to read your tweet.
What have you done?
There you go. Chat with TCU skipper Schlossnagel today. We'll have more on the Frogs Friday, so look out for that tomorrow over at Perfect Game. See a Perfect Game? Is that where he is, I believe? We'll have
D1
baseball, I think is what it is. But a lot of buzz coming out of Fort Worth on lefty Austin Krob and righty Garrett Wright. Krob's up to 95 with movement. And then Wright can hit 98 with a fastball and has a power slider at 91. So these two arms and this
magic.
Yeah, this team is going to be good. So hopefully we get a baseball season.
Oh man, I'm so excited for baseball. Bring it on, man. Yep. Bring it on, man.
Especially how football's been. Again, I think men's basketball will be not necessarily rough this year, but they're picked to finish last in the Big 12. They're fighting for an NIT spot, probably.
Yeah, yeah. We're going to be competitive in a frickin' gauntlet of a conference. Yep. Like
the women should be tournament-ish caliber again. Lauren Hurd was an early season award honoree for the best women's player in the country. Mm-hmm. So keep an eye out for that, but give me the baseball. Give me the February whenever they start playing this year.
Hopefully. Yeah, yeah. Plus then it's 2021 officially, and we can...
and everything's coming up. Everything's coming up TCU in 2021. Yes. If you haven't heard by this podcast yet. Twitter questions?
Yeah.
Because we skipped this with the football talk. Because I say we talk longer, but we're still only at 25 minutes. We've rushed to the last 15 minutes.
Just
of the show.
Flying through.
Time flies. You're having fun.
And I always do. I hope that the listeners do as well. I thought it would be an excellent time to check in on our TCU bold predictions from the beginning of the season, as many of these have already passed us by.
Many? All but like two.
Yeah. So, back to our 1 point predictions. So, Billy, you got a point here. Nice. So, congratulations. Max Duggan starts versus Texas. That did happen.
Nailed it,
yes. Mine is technically still in play. TCU finishes top five in the Big 12.
They got to win out.
We need
a little bit of help.
But. Yes, but it can happen. So we're going to hold out hope for that point. Now, in hindsight, I'm like, how is that a 1 point prediction?
It seems like it should have been easy, but.
Yeah, it seems that way. Okay, I'm going to put a little check mark next to your name for your 1 point.
Nailed it.
So here's 3 points that I got courtesy of this past week. Coach P uses a dating analogy in a press conference.
Use it on me, no less.
Yes, so thank you for that, Billy.
Yeah, I shouldn't have asked that question.
You should have known. You should have known. But unfortunately, I think this one is out for you. Stephon Brown leads in rushing touchdowns.
Yeah.
I think that's looking a little less likely to happen.
Yeah, it's not going
to
happen.
5 point tier, Blair Conright leads the team in catches.
He is
that was
second,
mine.
But...
He's got some ground to make up.
He's down by like 14 on Tate Barber with two games scheduled.
We need to suddenly become a true air raid offense and pretty much pass exclusively to Blair Conright for this to happen.
I'm fine with it. I love Blair Conright.
Yeah. But, you know, yours isn't looking all that great either unless we just have a magical final two games for this guy. Marcel Brooks finishes the season with an interception, a sack, and a forced fumble.
That takes two plays. Yeah. I was going to say, it only takes two plays. They are playing Kansas next week.
That's true.
It's not off the board.
That's true. But here's one that's pretty much off the board for you, Billy. Colt Ellison or Parker Workman are the sack leader for the team.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
Yes, Dave. not with my Technicolor Muskox Kari Coleman around.
No, sir. Absolutely not.
And mine's still in play for 7 points. Defense holds Chuba Hubbard under 100 yards rushing.
Still a possibility. We shall see. Still possible.
We shall see. 9 point tier. Billy, I'm sorry. TCU did not beat every team they lost to in 2019 except for OU.
Sure did not.
We certainly did not. And as far as I know, Stephen Stevenson has yet to infiltrate Amon Carter Stadium and tweet an empty stadium picture.
Hasn't happened yet.
He may have one for himself that he's treasuring.
He hasn't shared it.
He's sitting like Wolverine on the bed with a picture of the empty
Amon Carter. He loves an empty Carter.
Yes. 11 points. TCU beats OU. I was sadly and... poorly mistaken.
Very wrong.
In that prediction. And TCU plays for the Big 12 title. Billy?
Is that officially off the board now?
Because
I know you did a scenario last week where you're like, it's technically still possible.
We needed to beat West Virginia. Oh, okay. We needed to win out in that scenario, if I remember correctly. I think that one is officially
you
dead.
You needed Texas to lose to Kansas or something like
that.
Yeah,
we needed Texas, which now that game has gotten postponed.
Yeah, well, that one's pushed back to the 12th, I think.
Yeah, yeah. Which hopefully we'll be playing SMU sometime around.
I mean, I just pulled up a couple bowl predictions. They're still saying TCU SMU in the Armed Forces Bowl. This one says TCU Houston in the Armed Forces Bowl. So
yeah, well, I probably would rather play Houston in a bowl game if we could somehow play SMU in regular season.
Well, yeah, obviously, that's more football.
Yeah, and now this is where things get really interesting. The 13-point tier, yours is off the table. TCU starts 5-0. Did not happen, impossible. Unfortunately. That was dead on arrival. but. Defense scores more than the third best receiver. That was my prediction.
You're on a technicality right here.
Yes, we looked it up. The third best receiver has how many touchdowns?
Has zero.
Zero touchdowns. And the defense has one touchdown.
Tay Barber has two touchdowns. Quentin Johnston, Blair Conright, Pro Wells, and Artavius Lane each have one touchdown, which you've played, what, 8 games? You have 6 passing touchdowns?
Lord have mercy on our souls.
So technically third place is zero right now. So the one defensive touchdown is beating the third most for a pass. I'll allow it.
I am equal parts elated and horribly, horribly depressed.
No, it's very sad. But it sounds. But doesn't it sound like, I guess Marcel Brooks has to have a monster game for me to win this game? For me to win this exact.
Well, yeah, let's see. Because as it stands, if the TCU defense, if that holds true and they have the most, more touchdowns than the third best receiver, then I'll have 16 points.
Yeah, but even,
to your one.
But even then, you're beating me 3-1 right now.
Yes, yes.
And the only one I still have a chance on is Marcel Brooks having an interception, fumble, and a sack in one game.
Yeah, so you need that to happen, but him to not score as a result of either of those
that's
plays.
True. That's true. I feel like I'm watching fantasy football and yeah. as the defense I'm playing against.
So. Right.
Which, by the way, you're not playing fantasy football this year?
No, no, nobody invited me to a league, and I didn't want to herd cats and be a commissioner again. because I had taken a year off from being a commissioner. I was like, this was nice. I was like, this is so much easier.
I won this week by 0.06 points.
Oh, that is beautiful. That is a thing of beauty.
I have DeAndre Hopkins.
Okay.
So that Hail Mary helped for sure. So I was playing against the guy who had the Ravens defense. Only got 1 point despite, like, and I was watching the Sunday night game. That was the last player we had left. I was freaking out. Uh-huh. Like, if they get 2 points, I lose. They only had one. So it was a wild Sunday here watching football for fake football purposes.
Yeah. So you need Marcel Brooks to have a monster last 2 games. Yeah. Well, I guess bowl game could be included in that.
That's true. That's true.
And you need Chuba Hubbard to go off against us. And you need us,
you know,
the
what?
Defense to not score anymore.
If it means us winning out, I'll gladly lose all these things.
Okay. That's very big of you, Billy.
What can I say? I'm a big man.
That is
literally and metaphorically
stunning and brave. Yep. I would
so
say
so brave and so bold. Yes. All right, Twitter questions, you ready?
Let's do it.
All right. Avenger Frog at Mike Froggett. What happens if we lose to Kansas? We drink.
We drink.
Well, it's Thanksgiving weekend. We eat all the leftovers and we drink heavily.
Yeah. Yeah,
and
I guess
just
so.
Flip the calendar over to 2021. So,
well, I'm smashing the panic button as hard as possible too, and being like,
"Well,
what
is I think this? Most people have already smashed that button so much it's broken. It's not, it's not bouncing back as a button tends to do when you push it. It tends to have that spring back there to move it forward. That button's broken on most people, I believe, at this point.
Let's cross that bridge if we come to it.
Mark the Herald's Angels Sing Right at J Mark Wright. Ask. I know the O-line is dicey, but what happened to Max's passing? Seems like that, even when he has time, something is off. I think the O-line's poor play has him skittish.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Yeah. You try getting planted like 13 times a game. Eventually, that's going to happen. I mean, Max Duggan is a very mentally strong kid. You can tell.
Warrior. But
eventually, that's going to have an impact on your psyche. You know, you can tell there were multiple times in that West Virginia game, and me and my buddy Cam, who were watching together, we were yelling at each other. We're like, gosh, why is he? He didn't need to run. He could have stayed in the pocket there. Or he could have kept his eyes downfield. And I finally was like, Cam, I think he literally has a clock in his head that, like, after two and a half seconds has passed, he's like conditioned to think, all right, I got to be on the move or I'm going to get planted. And, you know, that probably speaks to why he missed Tay Barber on that pass. You know, suddenly you're in the spot where he's like, oh, there he is. And he, like, guns it to try and get to him because, like, something has happened and he's pushing, right? And then he just sails it. And it's just, it's a variety of factors that come together for the perfect storm.
I think it all comes down to the O-line play. Just keep pushing that button on repeat. So, let's see. Matthew at Matt_G_train. What's wrong with the offense? Comes back to the offensive line.
The G train has left the station.
Just push that button again. It's bringing it back. Offensive line is the issue at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Which leads into the next question from Drip King at D Duncan Soul. TCU has 5 offensive coaches on staff. Rank them 2 ways. 1, in coaching competence. 2, in recruiting competence.
You are really going to make us do this, bro. You're really going
to
do this.
He's asking the harder hitting questions. He wants to be a little bit mean. So I think right now, based on what you've seen from the coaching, like, we like the receivers have definitely improved. They're not dropping passes as much.
Yes, which is huge.
So So that's Malcolm Kelly. With Applewhite, the running backs are playing well. Kendre Miller's developed into a really good running back. Mm-hmm. Darwin Barlow, Zach Evans, Emery DiMercato. This is a solid group of running backs.
Yep.
Zach Evans. I don't know if I said that a second ago. Solid group of running backs.
You can say them twice.
Yeah, that's fine. maybe they'll give him the ball more. They become a really solid group. So I think they've done a good job of coaching them up. The offense appears broken at times. That's a combo of Meacham and Cumbie.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we've all had that same complaint about, man, his offense looks stale. It looks frustrating. It looks annoying. So that's kind of the combo platter of Meacham and Cumbie.
Yeah.
That's why I've got them kind of at the 3-4 area. And then Anderson, like, we all love him. He's a great dude. The offensive line is just struggling mightily this year.
Yeah.
So
there's no way you can keep from having him in that spot, unfortunately, just based on the product on the field that we have. Now, if you're going to separate position coaching abilities from play calling, I might elevate Cumbie a little bit, actually, in that. I might maybe even swap him and Applewhite, not because I have anything against Applewhite, but I don't think that necessarily running back is as difficult of a position to coach as quarterback is. And Cumbie has a track record of, I mean, you know, think about it. Trayvon Boykin was nothing before Cumbie got here.
True.
People were done with Trayvon Boykin. They're like, 2013 was a nightmare. We don't want to see him anymore. I have many friends who were like, I don't want to see him take another pass. we all thought Matt Jokel was going to be the guy in 2014. Cumbie comes along, and all of a sudden, Trayvon Boykin is a generational talent. You have to give credit where credit is due there. And
by this point, we would sign up for Kenny Hill.
Yeah.
Kenny Hill by his senior year.
Yeah. Kenny Hill. Senior year Kenny Hill. My goodness. I mean, he wasn't a guy who was going to put the team on his back and win a game for you, but he was accurate by that time. He was selective with the passes that he threw. He was an excellent – I mean, bus driver feels derogatory, but I don't mean it that way. He was an excellent bus driver.
Game manager shouldn't necessarily be a put-down. It is.
Yes.
It is, but if you're doing that, you're winning games. Like, Trent Dilfer was a game manager. He won a Super Bowl. Like, it's like Troy Aikman in a way – Michael Irvin was amazing, obviously. But, like, hand the ball to Emmitt Smith a bunch of times, you're going to win a lot of football games. That whole line, you're going to win a lot of football games. Just don't make mistakes. So, I agree. I get that. So, but Duggan isn't what he was last year right now. Again,
but the
O-line, you're scared, nervous. Yeah. So, I think that's your coaching nutshell. Recruiting, I'm ranking them very similarly. I mean, they got Quentin Johnston in here. Malcolm Kelly, I think, is doing a great job.
Yeah, recruiting. I think you got to put him at the top of the list.
And Applewhite, he was on campus for 3 days and got Zach Evans, got a 5-star.
Yeah, again, so credit where it's due.
It's hard to really blame him for that.
Yeah.
And Anderson, like I said, very lovable. The kids love him. And we love these O-line commits they have.
Yeah.
This O-line group coming up, we still think it has potential to be very good. It's a matter of once they get here, like, do something with them. And then Cumbie and Meacham, like, I mean, Cumbie, they're getting another quarterback here, the big German.
Yeah.
Purple Dirk, we're excited
about. Purple Dirk, yes. So. Yeah, I mean, and recruiting has truly been Coach Anderson's calling card for, you know, 20 years now.
Yep.
I mean, that has been...
He's a great dude. I just, the off-the-line has regressed this year. And I think that's not an overstatement of anything.
Yes. And I agree, too, that Cumbie has... As a general rule, this is a great recruiting offensive staff. Great. It's the issues have come from other places.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's see. B Banks 21-21. Wrap these up. Again, stick around for the interview with Larry Brown.
Yes.
Speaking of the Cowboys and Troy Aikman a second ago. Which way do I want to do these? I'm going to do this one first.
Okay.
Would you eat nothing but saltines on every Thanksgiving for the next 7 years for a 31 game win streak?
Yes. Next question.
You don't like Thanksgiving?
I love Thanksgiving. I would gladly take one for the team. For a 31-game winning streak.
But that's one national title.
That's a
2021 national title. I need more than that.
He said,
I love Thanksgiving.
He said saltines for the rest of your life?
No, on every Thanksgiving. Forget that. We can eat Thanksgiving on Friday.
Yes.
Thursday I can just
leftover not eat. Thanksgiving is better than the day of Thanksgiving.
Yeah, that's a whole other debate, but that's fine. I don't hate that point.
Yeah,
no, that's fine. I'll eat saltines on a random Thursday for the next 7 years. That's fine.
Yes.
Like, can I eat a lot of saltines? Can I have some of that cranberry?
Like 36 boxes of saltines.
Yeah, yeah. A limit on there. And then B Banks again. I got an ESPN alert about Bane going to Boston and immediately ordered $647 worth of Celtics gear. Who do I contact about a refund?
You can contact at CamCunningham12 on Twitter. He'll take that Boston Celtics gear off your hands. He's the only Celtics fan that I know.
I was going to say, as much complaints as Donati gets on game day, just forward that to Donati. Yeah, see what he can do. This guy's not wearing purple. Donati, throw him out of here.
Oh, my God. I need to make a video about that. I need to make a Jeremiah Donati complaints video.
Reads mean tweets?
Yes, yes.
That would be hilarious, yeah, yes. Actually.
Like, Jeremiah Donati, I haven't gotten my stimulus check yet. Yeah. Like, or... why are there still troops in Afghanistan, Jeremiah Donati? Like,
what is COVID still a thing, Donati? Yeah. Why haven't you fixed this yet? Come on, people. Yeah. Jeremiah.
Come on, ADJD.
I want to see him reading tweets now. I do want to see him do that.
Yes.
Which, by the way, quit complaining him for dumb stuff. Don't be stupid.
Oh, only do it if we can get some laughs out of it because of a video. That's the only.
The straw is bad. Remember that? Was that last year in a basketball game?
The straw is bad?
Somebody complained about their straws, like at the basketball arena. I think like his straw broke or something like that. I think his reply was like, don't use a straw then, or something like that.
Wait, devil's advocate though. Devil's advocate. Was it a paper straw? Was it because if the complaint was, why do we have paper straws at games? Because paper straws get soggy and nasty, then I could kind of see the rationale for, I mean, you don't need to elevate that to the athletic director, but I could kind of see like, hey, This is having an impact on my game day enjoyment, right? My Dr. Pepper is melting my paper straw.
That's basically how this conversation went. I already found it on Twitter.
Okay.
It took 2 seconds. Where can I get a plastic straw in the arena at TCU basketball at JDonati_TCU at Frogs of War? The crap paper straw is already disintegrated in my $6 soda. Jeremiah, sorry about your straw, Kevin. Try it with the lid off.
I do love when he responds to these folks, though.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Not so much read mean. Yeah, read mean tweets and then give the deadpan answers like that.
Yeah, yeah.
That people should understand.
Well, and you know, I feel like he's just the spiritual successor to Del Conte, because Del Conte is the one who started all this,
yeah.
Right? Who allowed people this access and gave them the satisfaction of knowing that he did read the nonsense that they were tweeting at him. So there you go.
Yeah. I was trying to read some. I'll just go through his feed and.
I'm sorry. I'm still just dying that he added Frogs of War in that complaint. Yeah, yeah. The resident straw aficionado.
Melissa, fix your straws.
Yeah. Yeah. Where's Jamie Plunkett on this straw issue?
That's the meanest thing I want Melissa to hear on Twitter this week. Fix your straws
ever again.
You can remove one play from the offensive playbook. Which do you choose?
Oh, jeez. This is recency bias, but tight end screen. That one got me all fire.
Jets upset. Jet sweeps.
Yeah.
Jet sweeps can work occasionally.
They can.
You don't need to run it 6 times in a game, but.
Well, and it's like last year, I can't remember what game it was. Maybe it was against Baylor, but it's like we finally ran something different out of Wild Frog. We ran like a reverse out of Wild Frog, and it was like, oh my gosh, we've been setting up this play for 2 years with nothing but dive right out of Wild Frog, all for this moment, you know? And it's like, you don't have to do that, you know? If you want to use Jet Sweep to set up something else, you can just run it like a couple times a game, you know?
Another play.
This is what we've been waiting for.
And what's the best part of a Thanksgiving meal?
Okay, this now that's a difficult question. I don't know if this is cheating, but the combined bite of the stuffing and the turkey, I think, is
well. What
is
great. Kind of here's the real question? What kind of stuffing are you a fan of? The Aldo.
Well, let's see. We've changed it up in the past. I feel like last year we did like a kind of a cornbread. Kind of like a jalapeno cornbread based stuffing that was delectable.
Dressing, if you will.
Yeah, dressing.
Yeah.
Where do we draw the line between dressing and stuffing?
Does it come from the bird?
Oh, okay. Yeah, it does not come from the bird, yes.
I would call that a dressing.
Okay, yeah, so it's typically dressing then.
Yeah, but I don't know if you actually stuff the bird with stuffing anymore. I think it's a common practice.
We've put Dr. Pepper in the turkey before. What I've done the last multiple years, and this is something that my mom turned me onto, is stuffing the turkey with lots of fruit, which you'd think gives it some weird, like, fruity flavor, but it actually just makes it insanely moist.
Yeah, I can see that.
But then you don't go eating the fruit because it's all soggy and...
turkey.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. Less delicious.
Yeah.
Also less nutritional for you. It's clearly the dressings for me. Like, it's...
Yes.
It's the cornbread dressing that my family makes. Also, half the family from New Orleans, oyster dressing.
Oh.
That is amazing. Those are my two things that I cannot go without eating on Thanksgiving.
Oyster dressing.
It's so good.
You're going to have to expound on this.
I will probably bring leftovers home next week. I'll let you try some.
Okay.
We'll do the show next Friday next week, since next Thursday is technically Thanksgiving.
Yeah, we know we're not recording on Thursday, so that's a good point. We do have the primetime game, so if we record on Friday, people will have all day Saturday.
That's true. We are TCU Kansas primetime.
Because that's exactly what you think when
people
you look at that schedule.
In Saturday night to watch TCU Kansas.
First to 10 wins.
Probably first to 20.
Yeah.
I think TCU can get more than 10.
No, yeah, we can.
Yeah. Well.
The joke was intended.
Was that Kansas? and then I'll do a Twitter question. I'm going to Austin this weekend just to... mostly eat the food, get it somewhere, take it somewhere. If you have food recommendations or recommendations of things that you can do in Austin that are COVID safe, so which makes it even tougher.
Yeah.
Basically just driving around and going to like an outdoor area, but get away for a couple days.
Well, yeah, they got lots of good food trucks down there and lots of good tacos. Have you ever been to the Texas History Museum?
No.
I'm a fan of museums. I like the Texas History Museum. Because I like museums, and I like Texas, and I like history.
I don't know, all three of those combined. I don't know if museums are open right now.
That's another
tricky...
If it is, you should check it out.
Hit me up with Austin recommendations on Twitter. And also, speaking of people, obviously, we kind of glossed over this. I'm like officially part of the 247 family now.
Huzzah!
So the family member in need, Jeremy's wife, is in the ER with COVID today.
Mm.
So thoughts and prayers out to Jeremy, who's obviously a big TCU fan. So or not TCU fan, TCU fans know him. So yeah.
Well, you should pray for him anyway.
Pray for him anyway. Yeah, sure. Pray for everybody. Yes. So thoughts and prayers. Thoughts and prayers. So and then with that, you want to promote something?
Yeah, check out my videos if you haven't been. I got a really special one planned for this weekend that is very Thanksgiving heavy in theming. I'm quite excited about it. So just search TCU Fans on YouTube or search Clint Foster on YouTube. You should be able to find my channel. Post all my videos on Twitter at Clint_Foster55. Follow me. I feel like I'm a good time. We can engage with each other. We can talk about TCU and other things. At the Clint Foster on Instagram.
Yo, I'm at Billy Wessels on Twitter. Again, join Horned Frog Blitz.
Why not? Yes.
Part of the family now. I think they're doing. I should have done this already. I should have looked at what the deal is. They have a good deal going right now with like gear and stuff. Also, get free CBS All Access. Yeah, 50% off an annual VIP membership right now. So
pretty good deal.
HornFrogBlitz.com. It even mentions in here how they added me to the staff, and me and Jeremy have a combined 30 years covering TCU.
Yeah, that's
crazy to think about. You're in good hands.
Yes.
this deal ends today. Oh my gosh, do this now. So get going.
Yeah, I hope you're listening to this on Thursday.
Yeah, right. So keep tuning in after the song. I won't play the whole Purple Haze song, but keep listening until you get to the Larry Brown part of this podcast.
Yeah.
Joined today on the podcast, Larry Brown, TCU legend, Dallas Cowboys legend, just kind of football legend in general, first and foremost. How are you doing today, Mr. Brown?
I am doing good. Enjoying this beautiful Monday.
It is a beautiful Monday. First question for you, what are you focusing on most now? Obviously, the Frogs, the Cowboys, and your son's at Texas A&M. What are you watching the most these days?
So I focus on all three. Obviously, I follow my Cowboys because that's what I do. And my son's at A&M, so you know I'm there each week with them, and I obviously keep up what's going on with my Frogs every week. So all three are a part of my weekly schedule of what goes on in my life during football season.
I met you a few years ago at a Rivals camp watching your son work out. I believe it was at Lancaster. How did he wind up going to A&M and not your alma mater?
You know, the coaches at A&M did a very good job of building a relationship with him. He felt comfortable with them at the time and felt that was the best place for him. And we've always left the decision up to him, you know, not just because your dad played at TCU. It has nothing to do with you. You have to make decisions what's best for you. And at that time, he thought that was the best space for him.
And it's working out pretty well. He had a good game the other day against Alabama, too.
Yeah. Doing well, you know. Started 4 games for him this year and just working hard and, you know, just trying to make a name for himself. You know, still young and got a long way to go.
Talking about recruiting, how did you wind up at TCU as a JUCO transfer from California?
Well, we had a coach named Charlie Williams, a great, very good coach. And at that time, he was a little ahead of his time and decided to start recruiting other states and finding good players who didn't just necessarily live in Texas. And came out there and recruited me, and I visited TCU and fell in love with it. And Jim Wacker was the coach at the time, just a great man. And TCU was a great school, small, and just it was perfect for me. And I ended up loving Fort Worth, and that's why I chose TCU.
Do you have any favorite memories from your playing days here in Fort Worth?
Oh, man, so many. I mean, going into Arkansas, the Southwest Conference was very big back then. You know, the teams are very good. And, you know, you had Andre Ware at Houston, and, you know, you had all the great players at Arkansas and Texas and Metcalf and those guys. So just a lot of good memories. The guys that I played with were just great guys. And, you know, we didn't win as much as we liked, but we were still very close as a team. So just a lot of good memories from that perspective.
Looking at kind of your arc, if you will, it kind of reminds me a little bit of another junior college corner that came to Fort Worth from California. Obviously, Jason Verrett was a great corner here and playing well in the NFL now. Is there a player, maybe it's him, that's similar to the way you played back then?
You know what? Honestly, I think it's harder for us, these guys now, to be truthful. It's hard to compare my generation to those kids now. It's harder. They can't touch people. You know, the rules are against them. So at least for us, you know, other than tackling a guy in midair, you didn't really get many PI calls. So it's just a lot harder on these guys. But I think these guys are a lot more athletic. I think their talent, even some of the length. I mean, you got guys now at corner 6'2", 6'3". So these guys are definitely a lot more athletic as a group overall than when I played.
What do you see in the young corners that TCU has now? Obviously, this is a weird year for everybody, but TCU starting Trey Tomlinson on one side of the ball, and with injuries to Keon Stewart and Noah Daniels going to CJ Caesar on that side. Have you watched a lot of them? Do you see?
They're tough. They tackle. They can cover. They get after you, and they're very well coached. And the same style of, you know, that's what you're going to do in a Gary Patterson defense. Those guys, some guys can cover, but they can't tackle. TCU guys tend to be able to do it all. They play special teams. They're good special team guys. So they're complete players. And I think that's a testament to Gary Patterson and how he goes about coaching the players that he has, being tough, mentally tough, and physically tough on defense.
I do think cornerback is the toughest position to play nowadays. And you are currently the only cornerback to win Super Bowl MVP. Do you think that's a record that'll stand? Like, it's so hard nowadays to play that spot.
Well, I hope someone else wins it. I hope I'm not the only guy. And you're optimistic. I know the rules are set up, not rules, but it's steered for an offensive performance. If a quarterback has a great game, or a running back or a receiver, normally they're going to get it. But I hope at some point that another cornerback or defensive back can get it.
Well, like nowadays, it's all about the fantasy points and the betting, the over-unders and stuff. Points are key.
It's tough. It's tough. You know, the game has changed, you know. And it's hard to live in the past, and I get it, but that's just the way it is, you know. And you just have to adapt, whether you like it or not. You got to adapt.
Do you think that's kind of taking place in the draft a little bit more? You've seen a couple corners taken early, but some of these later guys are doing really well, too. Like Richard Sherman had a great career and wasn't a high draft pick.
There's a lot of great, you know. I think the misconception is if you're not a good player if you're not drafted high. Those guys get it wrong all the time. A lot of great corners and defensive backs that have gone to mid-round, late round free agent. I believe the highest paid safety for Tennessee Titans was a free agent kid. He can play. So, you know, if you got the talent and you're willing to fight it out, I think, you know, you can get the recognition that you deserve.
Talking about how hard it is to find these guys, you were picked in the 12th round of 12 rounds back then in the 1990s.
Number 320.
Right now it's like they only do 7 rounds and everything else like
that's
that.
Right.
Did that put a chip on your shoulder? Because you were on the all-rookie team in 91.
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, you just want to go in and prove yourself. You know, every kid that ever had a dream of playing and getting there wants to prove that you belong. And for me, you know, to get a chance to make the team as a 12th-round rookie and end up starting my rookie year and going to 3 Super Bowls, you just live a dream. You overcome the odds. And you always have two ends of these stories. You got the guys that are expected to be great, them are your first-round picks, and you got guys who go into free agents are late round draft picks and they go on to have good careers. And so, you know, you're proud and that you were able to show people that you belong there and that you can play.
Mentioned you're on three Super Bowl teams for those Cowboys in the mid-90s. Do you have any PG-13 stories from those days that you can share with us?
Look, I just wish that we'd get back to those days. So, you know, it was a great period for us, man. You know, it was, you know, you don't realize it when you're in it, that what you've accomplished and how great it was until you're older and later and have kids. And so you're just very fortunate, and you don't take it for granted that, you know, we're very fortunate. Everybody, there's guys who had long careers that's never been to one or won one, or guys that, like Buffalo, that went to four and lost all four. So you just learn to appreciate them a lot more, and the moments that you enjoyed, and the teammates that you did it with, and the coaches that coach you. It's just a great experience that you'll never forget.
It's hard to believe that your Super Bowl was the last one for the Cowboys, for this storied franchise.
It's hard to believe, man. Like I said, I think we got to do something to get back, and we got to get some changes, but it's been way too long.
Did you feel different going into that game? Obviously, it was your third Super Bowl, and you had two picks, and to be fair, you were wide open on both plays. Like, what happened in that game? What were you feeling?
Your job is to make plays. You know, you, that game is no different from any other games. When you have opportunity to make plays, make them. And especially in a game like the Super Bowl, it's going to come down to who makes the plays. And so often in many big games, you know, you'll see it, well, this guy almost made a play, or he dropped an interception, or he dropped the catch that he should have caught. And our goal is always, when you get a chance to make a play, make it. And that's going to be the determining factor of who wins those types of games when you play other great teams. And so it was no different from any other game from that perspective.
How bad did you want to get the end zone on those two returns? Because you got close.
You know, first thing is catch it. Yeah, I wasn't known for my hands, you know, at all. So the hardest part was catching. The running part was easy, you know. So catch it, hold on to it, and then do what you do there. So that was the big thing for me.
Kind of what was that? Because now the Super Bowl has become very corporate in a way. It feels very sterile. Was it like that back then as well, 25 years ago?
It was. You know, I think this year, you know, because of pandemic and all that and no fans, I don't know what it'll be like this year. I just cannot imagine it with all the media frenzy. And, you know, now, you know, this year's going to be quite different. You know, when you go during normal Super Bowls, you know, what, 200-300 media credentials, 180,000 people, it won't be that. So I'm not sure how different that will be for the guys that make it this year. I'm not sure if they'll get a chance. And I think it's unfortunate that whoever goes this year, if you've never made it before, you won't get a chance to enjoy the full experience of what it really is because of COVID.
Do you get to go every year? Do you get like an automatic pass because you're an MVP?
No. I go, there's no automatic pass, but I try to go as much as I can. I've probably missed two or three games in the last 17 years, something like that. But for the most part, I'm there. But there's been a few that I've not made.
Do you?
I won't be going this year because of COVID. So this will be another year that I won't make because of COVID.
Do you get in the business of making predictions? Like, who do you think will be playing in the game?
You know what? It's so wide open. I think this is the most parity. You know, I think you can kind of narrow it down to three teams each side. If I had to go AFC, I'd probably say Baltimore, Kansas City, Pittsburgh. If I had to go NFC, obviously I think Seattle would be in the mix. Then there's some tricky teams. That whole division, Seattle, Rams, even Arizona, the way they're playing now, it's wide open. You just don't know there. I don't think anybody from the East, I just don't think the East is strong enough. I don't think anybody out that division will come. And then, you know, you always have your guys like Green Bay and that hangs around and somehow finds a way to get on the roll, and they end up right there in the mix. So I think it's wide open, but I think Seattle or someone at that NFC West has a good chance of getting there.
I'm a diehard Saints fan. You skipped over my team. I get Drew's got the collapse lung.
The reason I said the Saints, Drew Brees got hurt.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure how long that's going to be, and I'm not sure if they can get it done with Jameis Winston. That's the only reason why I didn't say the Saints.
You also missed Tom.
Drew Brees' injury is minor, if he'll be back in a few weeks. I don't know. I just know he got hurt this past week.
You also skipped Tom Brady. He's the greatest ever, right?
Yeah, but they've been up and down. You know, Tampa has a lot of high-profile players there, and they have the talent, but they got to show that they can consistently do it together, and they've been all over the place. They lose by 30 one week, they win by 30 next week. So they're going to have to be a lot more consistent than that, and to show that they can do it.
You mentioned the energy a couple minutes ago about playing in the Super Bowl. Do you think that's playing an impact on these college games, especially like you pay close attention to A&M? That's normally one of the best crowds in America. Like, is it playing a factor in these games? Like, TCU's struggling at home this year. A&M has no crowd.
Yeah, it's just different, you know, and it's just different. I think the Big 12 is wide open. You know, I think anybody can beat anybody on any given weekend, and that's just where it is. You know, now I'm not sure how much the fans play into that, but I assume it affects it some. So I think, you know, you have to be a very good team with fans or no fans. So I think the really, really good teams, it's not going to matter. I think the teams are somewhere in the middle. You know, they're going to have to figure out, how do I, you know, thrive and play and be motivated without fans and all the energy of that. So it's just a different year.
These last couple of years, TCU's been kind of one of those middle teams you mentioned. What do you think it's going to take to get them into that upper echelon again like they were back in 14 and 15?
I think in college sports now, it all comes down to quarterback play. It doesn't matter which team you're on. You have to, if you're going to be an elite team, you have to have a quarterback that's playing at a high level, no matter who that is. And that's what it's going to take, you know, because it's we live, the game is centered around the quarterback position. If you look at all the elite teams, Clemson, Trevor Lawrence, you look at Ohio State, Justin Fields, you know, you start looking at Notre Dame, Ian Book, I mean, all these guys are playing at a high level, all the top teams there. And you look at the quarterbacks, they're somewhat inconsistent, you know, like Texas guys, you know, there's, you know, they can win, they can lose. It just goes back to quarterback play.
So can Duggan, we've seen flashes of Duggan. Is he the kind of guy that can make that next step and become one of those leaders?
I think so. You know, how long it's going to take for him to be at a high level every week, I don't know. But like you said, there's been flashes. And when those flashes have been good, he's given them a chance to win. And when they haven't been so good, he's still a young guy. You know, they've been right there in the middle of the road. So it comes back to quarterback play. And every week. You know, and especially in the Big 12, you know, you got to play every week. And that quarterback has to be, he doesn't have to be great every week, but he has to be good every week. And that's what we need out of Duggan.
I feel like I can ask you about any random college or pro team, and you seem to know everything. Are you living and breathing football? Is this your life now?
Yeah, I keep up with it. I'm a fan of the sport, so I keep up with everything.
What are you doing nowadays?
So I still do radio and television for the Cowboys. Some pregame and postgame work. Obviously, everything is remote now because of COVID. There and outside of that, I'm attending A&M games and keeping up with TCU.
There you go. Well, I'll let you go on that. You want to promote like your Twitter or anything else like that? You've any outreach?
I'm not a social media guy. That's the kid. That's this younger generation. I'm old school, so I don't even know how to deal use it.
Well, is there any?
But I think mine is at L. Brown Official or Larry Brown Official. I don't know. I don't even know it. I don't even know my Twitter handle.
L. Brown Official is what it is.
Okay, it's L. Brown Official. My kids set it up. So.
Give him a follow. Are you doing any other, like, the holidays are coming up. Anything you want to promote right now? Any charities or anything?
No, like I said, we really hadn't done a lot of charity stuff. COVID has changed everything. Yeah. As a matter of fact, this past week, myself, Drew Pearson, and Tony Dorsett, I do want to promote Minnie's Food Pantry in Plano. We handed out Thanksgiving food to all our veterans, over 3,200 veterans. So very proud of that.
There you go. Well, thank you so much for your time, and appreciate you putting up with me today.
Thank you, buddy.
Thank you.